Harris climbed off the simulator after a vigorous ride across country on a large black hunter. Every time she took the helmet off, the simulator startled her with its metal and plastic parts.
Very good indeed. You'll certainly qualify for one of the mid-level hunts. Depending on who's here, you might even be with me for a run or two.
Are you sure you want to drag me along? I know it's not...
It's not common, but it's not unheard of. And anyway, I do as I like. It's one of the perks. Bunny won't mind as long as you can ride decently and don't cause trouble, which you won't. I'll enjoy having you to talk with. There are few enough single women, and I'm past the point where the men want to talk to me.
Harris was not sure she liked the assumption that she herself was also past that point. But it was true. She wasn't on the prowl. She wasn't over losing her other ship yet, though she could now think of it as the other ship and not the only one. And she would have to get her crew, and certain members of it, out of her mind before she could respond to advances, if anyone made them.
What's the matter? Don't you want to go? Would you rather hang around Hospitality Bay with the other captains?
No! I'm sorry. The thought of those other captains has haunted me all along. I hate that. And yes, I would love to see what an estate set up for fox hunting looks like. It's just... I didn't want you to think you had to do it because you said it in front of Ronnie.
Nonsense. I said it because I wanted to. Ronnie's opinion is unimportant. And by the way, how is that young man?
Perfectly healthy.
That was true, if incomplete. He wasn't even that bored, because she had him doing the work he should have done in his basic classes. Math, chemistry, biochemistry, ship systems, military history, tactics. When he kept his mind on it, all his plumbing worked and his food arrived regularly, and the lights worked. When he threw a tantrum, and he hadn't thrown one in the last several days, was he learning? He found himself dealing with other problems, and the work still to do afterwards.
He may be rejoining you shortly, if you've no objection.
What have you done? Chained him in the ponics to dig potatoes? No, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But I shall be fascinated to see what happens.
So shall I.
Harris had found him more interesting than she'd expected in the rare moments she tutored him over the comm herself. He had a supple, energetic intelligence that would have rewarded good initial training. It was a shame that no one had ever made him work before. He could have been good enough for the regular space service. Ronnie reappeared at breakfast one morning, smiling pleasantly. Cecilia, at Harris's suggestion, had begun breakfasting with the young people some days before. This way, Harris had said, the collusion would be marginally less evident. She noticed that Ronnie was clean, dressed neatly, and showed no visible bruises, of which she approved, and the sulky expression she disliked no longer marred his face.
Well, tell all.
Ronnie looked over the toast rack and chose whole wheat with raisins.
All of what?
You said you were up to something. You said you were...
I've said many things, George, which aren't breakfast conversation. And I'm hungry. Excuse me, Aunt Cecilia, could I have some of that curry?
Cecilia smiled back. Whatever had happened, she wasn't going to interfere with it.
Certainly. I hope you haven't been ill.
Not at all.
Ronnie engaged himself with the curry and the variety of other edibles that Cecilia considered appropriate to breakfast with company. George opened and shut his mouth twice, then shrugged and went on eating omelette. Buttons, never very forthcoming in the morning, finished nibbling toast, excused himself, and went away. The three young women, after glancing several times from Ronnie to his aunt and back, also left. Cecilia ate her usual large breakfast, trying to ignore all the signals they were trying to pass so obviously. Finally, only George and Ronnie were left. Ronnie eating steadily, as if to make up for many lost meals, and George in spurts, eyeing Ronnie. Cecilia struggled not to laugh. It was, after all, ridiculous. There was George trying to protect Ronnie, too little and too late, from whatever horrors an elderly aunt could inflict on him. Finally, she decided to intervene before Ronnie hurt himself overeating or George had a stroke.
George, I am not planning to harm him, you know.
George turned bright red and nearly choked on a muffin.
She's quite right. It's safe to leave us alone.
But You said...
It's all right. Really, it is. I can tell you're not hungry. Why not go play something with the others? I'll be along shortly.
Sorry. I wasn't trying to interfere. You know where I'll be, Ronnie.
George nodded to Cecilia and got out of the room as gracelessly as she had ever seen him move.
You are all right.
Ronnie's clear hazel eyes gazed into hers, a look that combined all the charm and mischief she had seen in him since birth.
I'm fine. Why shouldn't I be?
Cecilia pleated her napkin, a gesture that she knew conveyed feminine indecision to the men in her family.
Well, you were fairly cross about my new captain, and when I wasn't sure your message to me was quite true about studying for exams, and I pressured George...
Did he break down and tell you I had planned some mischief? I'm sure he did. Well, so I had, but I changed my mind, and I did study for exams, but if I tell George that,
I see.
Into Cecilia's mind came the faint glimmer of what Harris must have done. How she had done it still remained a mystery, but she understood this much of the psychology of the younger set.
You don't want George to know you changed your mind or that you studied. You must have been awfully bored, Ronnie, to decide to study.
It was the only thing I could do in that room without letting George know.
Cecilia felt like grabbing Harris and dancing her along the passages, and at the imagined look on Harris's face, she could hardly contain her laughter. Ronnie, she saw, was looking at her with some suspicion.
My dear, please. I'm just glad you're not sick and that you didn't do something awful that Captain Serrano would have had to complain to me about, and that you thought better of it and made good use of your time. I have to admit I find the need to placate George amusing, but then I'm old and no longer worry about the opinions of friends. When I was your age, their opinions mattered much more.
Even you? I thought you never cared about anyone.
I didn't care about some members of the family, and I'm not bragging about it. But I had friends, others who shared the same interests, and it mattered a great deal to me what they thought. So I will conceal from George your careful study of whatever it was you studied, and pretend to know nothing. Which is, in fact, just what I do know.
Thank you, Aunt Cecilia. I suppose I should ask you to let me try your simulator.
Something in his eyes made Cecilia think he was not entirely chastened, but overly polite was easier to live with than whining complaint.
Of course. Some of your friends, Bunny's children and Raffaella, have been using it. I made up a schedule so that we don't interfere with each other.
And the captain? Is she coming along well?
Oh, yes. It's too bad she didn't start earlier. She'd have been competitive in the open circuit. As it is, she'll be a reasonable member of the field once she's had some real experience. You'd be good too, I'm sure, if you spent the time on it she has. You're the right build.
But I'm not horse-struck. Just as well. Mother would say you'd contaminated me.
Well, make a try at it. You might like it better than you think. The family brought you up to think it was ridiculous, and all because my parents wanted me to marry someone for a commercial alliance, and I wanted to ride professionally. Whether it was right or wrong doesn't affect the nature of the sport.
All right.
That old quarrel with her parents and her uncles could still make Cecilia angry. If they had not been so ridiculously prejudiced, she would not have been that defiant. She would have quit in another year or so, certainly after losing Buccinator, and married someone. If not Pierce Constantine, someone reasonable. But they had tried to have her barred from competition when she was leading for a yearly award. She had rebelled completely. It occurred to her that she had more in common with Ronnie than she'd imagined. Most major space stations followed one of three basic utilitarian designs: the wheel, the cylinder, and the Z's angle for situations requiring specific rotational effects. When Harris called up the specs for Cerealis, which all her passengers called Bunny's Planet, she felt she'd taken another giant step into irrationality. A blunt-ended castle tumbling slowly in zero gravity? This time she didn't ponder it alone. She called her employer and sent along a visual of the station where Cecilia had said they would dock.
Is there an explanation, or do I just assume civilian aristocratic insanity?
Insanity isn't a bad guess. There's been a certain, eccentricity in that family for some generations. Some of us think that's why they got so rich so fast. They've got monetary instincts where the rest of us keep our common sense. This station, though, let me see if I can explain it.
Harris watched on her own screen the display of crenellations, towers, stairs, arches, and cloisters, rotating but somehow not making sense.
No one could explain this.
Her eye tried to follow the progression of one staircase up to a square tower, which was suddenly not where it should have been. The staircase had to be going down.
Someone must have made an error in the display.
It began with Bunny's great-great-uncle, Peerditch. They'd just managed to recover the worst the original colonists had done, and the lords of the Grand Caravan had been teasing them about how impossible it was. He wanted to make a statement.
That station is a statement?
Of sorts, yes. He decided that having overcome what everyone said was an impossible problem in reclamation, he would celebrate it by building an impossible space station. Bunny's family's been overfond of the early modern period of old Earth all along. This station is built to look like a design by an artist of that period. I don't know the name. Visual arts are not my thing. It is strange, isn't it? And if you think it's impossible, wait until you see the internal configuration and the fountain in the central plaza. Everything in it is taken from the work of the same person, and it's all delightfully skewed.
Delightfully was not the word Harris would have picked. In her experience, design problems in space stations caused everyone grief, especially captains of ships docking there. Creativity should be subordinate to efficiency.
Are all three stations like this one?
If not, maybe she could talk Cecilia into docking somewhere other than the prestigious but clearly impractical home station.
Of course not. Once they had one unique, impossible station, they wanted each one different. Here.
From Cecilia's desktop to Harris's, the new visuals flashed. One like a stylized pine cone in silver and scarlet, and one that looked like a worse mistake than the others, as if someone had dropped a pile of construction material onto a plate with a glob of sticky in the middle.
I think that's the worst. It's a Dazanian design, very neo-neo-neo, and the fault of Bunny's aunt Zirip, who married a Dazanian and insisted that her family's fondness for old Earth was pathological. You can't take anything very big into it because the parts that stick out are non-functional. The docking bays are all nestled among them. There's only one berth for a decent-sized ship, and that's where they do cargo transfer. Zirip thought it was cute, she told me once, because it made for intimate spaces. But Zirip is also the one who converted the closet in her room into her bed and study and used the room itself for a dance studio. Up until then, I'd thought the oddness in that family rode the Y chromosome.
Harris pitied the captains of cargo vessels loading and unloading there, but supposed they got used to it.
And the, pine cone?
Symbolic, so they told me. I've been there once on a family shuttle. The docking facilities are lovely, but I got very tired of green and brown and the same aromatics all the time. It has the most capacity, and most guest yachts will dock there.
Harris knew what that smug tone meant. No hope of talking Cecilia into using another station. Instead, she looked again at the information for inbound ships. It might look like a peculiar sort of castle in the air, but it had modern, well-designed docking bays. The guidance beacons, the communications and computer links, the lists of standard and on-request equipment and connectors, all perfectly normal, exactly what they'd had at Tackerman Roads. She wondered who in the family had had the sense to design the practical part.
What sort of facilities does it have for off-duty crew?
What do you mean, off-duty crew? The crew goes to Hospitality Bay, as I explained earlier.
M'lady, you have an entirely new set of environmental components, and the run here from Tackerman Roads was just long enough to break them in. Not long enough for this crew to be what I considered well-trained. I want a standing watch aboard.
The station master won't like it. Everyone sends their crews down to Hospitality Bay, and the ships are secured. What do you think, that rustlers or smugglers or something will come aboard?
Harris didn't answer that, although she thought that leaving a ship uncrewed at a private station made it very easy for smugglers to do what they'd already done to Sweet Delight. She waited. Cecilia was not stupid. She would think of that herself in a few minutes.
I see. You do think exactly that. And someone did put whatever it was in my scrubbers. Did you ever find out what that was?
No, and I doubt we will, unless it comes to court. My point is that we need a standing watch aboard. If you authorize it, the station master will agree.
But what about the expense? And the crew expects their vacation at Hospitality Bay. Won't they be angry?
Look, what if a pipe breaks while you're planet-side and floods dirty goo all over this carpet? You don't like the lavender plush any more than I do, but imagine the mess. Imagine what your sister would say. As for the crew, that's my problem. If they're angry, they'll be angry with me. Time they earned what you pay them.
You're determined, aren't you?
Where your safety and the integrity of this ship are concerned, yes.